Okay, our next item is the ACB report, and I'd like to turn it over to President Mitch Pomerantz.
Thank you, Gene. And I can say with absolute certainty that that will be the last time that I will ever be introduced at this convention, other than perhaps tomorrow evening, as the ACB president. I never thought I would appreciate term limits quite so much. I say this every year. This is, I think, the fourth or fifth, that I've given this report, that it's been a particularly busy year for the American Council of the Blind. When I got elected in 2007, I heard folks, and it's usually folks who are uninformed about us. You know, the NFB has a $10 million budget. Although the fact that they're starting to get involved in the vehicle donation program, which isn't doing very much anymore, tells me that they're hurting. Nobody in their right mind starts getting into a vehicle donation program now. But when I got elected in 2007, it got real old real fast, folks saying, well, we don't know what ACB does. If nothing else, I hope that in the past 6 years, we've gotten folks to stop saying nonsense like that. In the last year, or since July of 2012, we've been quite active both on the legislative, the regulatory, and the advocacy front. A number of folks from California, fortunately attended, given the fiscal situation here, the president's meeting and legislative seminar in Washington, D.C. in February, at which point we presented two pieces of proposed legislation. The first one really comes from the American Foundation for the Blind and is the Ann Sullivan Macy Act. There are issues both on the state level, in all states, as well as nationally, vis-a-vis special education, particularly as it relates to blind and visually impaired children. More and more of those children are multiply disabled. They're not just blind. They have other disabilities. And the record keeping, the statistics, the focus on their special needs is lacking. And it's about as wonky a bill as you can imagine, which is why I'm not going into detail. But essentially, it requires considerably more focus on blind and visually impaired youngsters, particularly those with additional disabilities. The second piece of legislation we've talked about for a couple of years. As we know, or should know by now, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which for some peculiar reason is referred to as CMS, I'm not sure which of the M's went away, but one of them had. Because of their fear a few years ago that they might have to pay for 50 million pairs of eyeglasses, had what was called a lens exclusion introduced into the regulations, which means that you cannot get CMS to pay for any device that includes a lens, be it a pair of eyeglasses or a video magnifier or a CCTV. Given these times, and I love the terminology. I think it's Paul Krugman calls them the deficit scolds. The folks who are trumpeting doom and gloom if we don't balance the budget. We recognize that getting any legislation passed that might require more money spent on Medicare, we are proposing a pilot study to determine, in fact, what the real cost would be if the lens exclusion were removed. What we do know is that blind and visually impaired seniors every year, by greater and greater numbers, are having to give up their independent lives and go into nursing homes or assisted living facilities because they can't read their mail, they can't read a recipe, they can't do those things which they have done up until the beginnings of their vision loss. And we mean to change that. We mean to get that lens exclusion removed. And we also understand that this will be a long process. But we are patient, and we believe ultimately we will succeed. You will recall that a couple of things happened. The first one in 2011, when the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act was enacted by Congress, which required the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to come out with proposed standards for minimum sounds be made by hybrid and electric vehicles. While that was supposed to happen within 18 months of the time the bill was passed, it didn't quite work out that way. And the NPRM, or Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, actually came out, I believe, in late December or early January. It's not a bad document. It's a long document and very technical. And Doug Martin, if I had known that you were still floating around down in San Diego, I would have called on you because it's a document only an acoustical engineer could love. And I know you did that in past life. In fact, if you want some real nostalgia, you should go on the website and read that puppy. I don't believe it's on ours. I think it's on NHTSA's website. I'll track it down for you. It's wonderful reading if you have a master's degree in acoustical engineering, which I don't. However, ACB has responded. We agree with about 90% of the document. We have some quibbles. And we are looking forward to the final standards to come out at some point. We're not exactly certain when that's going to happen. Our comments were due back to NHTSA on March 15th. So perhaps by this summer, we'll actually have those minimum sound standards for those vehicles that, particularly in a state like California, where everybody but me is into green, we might actually be relatively safe crossing the streets at some point. Those of you this morning who attended the CAT committee heard my presentation on accessible prescription drug labeling. That piece of legislation, which was part of the Food and Drug Administration Safety and Innovation Act, was passed on July, passed by Congress and actually signed by the President on July 9th. And that established a working group which has been working. We have now had four meetings, face-to-face in January, and three teleconference meetings, including one this past Tuesday. That working group, which includes representatives from major blindness organizations and agencies, as well as reps from the disability community, the overall community, the senior citizens community, and Big Pharma. CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, you name it, they're there. As well as the industry lobbyists representing the major chains and the independents. We have all spoken with one voice, the blind community. We are telling them that the best practices that the legislation says we need to develop need to be fully inclusive. And I want to stress that. I stressed it this morning. There are folks who somehow believe that we are stressing one type of accommodation or one type of best practice methodology over another. We are not. We believe that we need a number of different audible formats, audio formats, from script talk to talking RX bottles to cell phone apps. We are talking about large print predicated on the standards developed by CCLVI. And we are obviously talking about Braille. And for those who somehow believe that we are playing favorites, all I can say is you couldn't be any wronger if you tried. We will, we've got another meeting scheduled for April 23rd, I believe. We have had that information out on ACBL and the leadership website. I believe Donna has posted it on CCBL. We'll see. We'll try to get it on the connection as well. The meetings are open in terms of your ability to listen in on the festivities, and there is an opportunity for public comment during the last half hour of the meeting. The meetings take place from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time. We have been involved in attempting to cobble together a treaty to allow the freer exchange of materials across international borders through the work of the World Intellectual Property Organization. Our executive director, Melanie Brunson, has been a part of that effort. She has been to Switzerland enough times that she can now give tours. We hope that, and there is a good chance, that a final treaty document can be worked out. They've got a meeting again, this time in Marrakesh, Morocco, in June. And the expectation is that a treaty could be finalized or could actually be voted on this fall in Geneva. And again, this has to do with copyrighted materials. And lest we think that this only really benefits other nations, the reality is that particularly with the increase in the Hispanic population in this country. ONCE, the Spanish National Organization of the Blind, does a tremendous job in putting out, publishing lots and lots of material in Braille, in Espanol. So there is clearly a benefit for those folks who read Spanish and speak Spanish in this country. So we are actively involved in the WIPO discussions. Our website continues to undergo significant improvements. You may know by now, should know, that the ACB web administrator is a Californian, Annette Carter. Annette also, by the way, was the CCLVI rep to the prescription drug labeling work group. But we have made significant changes to our website in the year plus. We reconstituted the web task force under the able chairmanship of Nolan Crabb, who is a former editor of the Braille Forum and is now the president of our Ohio affiliate, the affiliate that will be hosting this summer's National Conference Convention. I'll be talking about that momentarily. But the website now is easier to navigate. We are focusing on what ACB's accomplishments have been throughout our now almost 52 years of history. One of the things that came out of the strategic plan that we did in 2011 and 2012 was a recognition that we've got to stop living in the past. And we have taken some significant steps to talk about what ACB has done, from our involvement in getting Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act put into play, to our work on the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, the Communications and Video Accessibility Act, and all of the other activities with which this organization has been involved and which we all know about, but we need to tell others about. So our website continues to expand and to be an entity that really talks about what the American Council of the Blind is all about. Along the same lines, ACB Radio continues to grow and to develop. We have now a sixth stream, this one in an effort to reach out not just to blind and visually impaired persons around the world, but to the sighted members of the community who need to hear what we have to say. We're incorporating a lot of international programming from Voice of America, from others, and isn't specifically relevant to blindness, but is geared toward attracting folks who otherwise might not even show an interest in what we're doing to at least take a listen, and we sneak a plug or two in and hopefully hook them to hearing about the efforts and the work of the American Council of the Blind. I want to talk for a moment about our conference and convention. We have moved things forward a day because of the hotel, the Hyatt Regency in Columbus, Ohio. So it will begin on Friday, July 5th, with our pre-convention board meeting. There will likely be a tour on the 4th, and we will have our first plenary session this year on Saturday evening, And we will have our final business session Thursday, the following Thursday, and the banquet Thursday night, and on Friday, our post-convention board meeting. We have a couple of very special guests who will be attending. We always have an international guest of honor. And thanks to Donna and my visit, along with a number of other ACB members last year, to Madrid, Spain, we have invited, and he has accepted, the president of the Spanish National Organization of the Blind, ONCE, Organización Nacional Ciegos de España, Miguel Cabrera. Miguel is a fantastic, fantastic gentleman. ONCE this year, and the reason we tendered the invitation, it's ONCE's 75th anniversary. If you are blind or have a blind child and you want services of any kind in Spain, you belong to ONCE. I do not exaggerate. ONCE claims that 98% of all blind people in Spain are members of ONCE. And unlike another blindness organization we all know, they aren't exaggerating. So Miguel will be at the convention, as will the second vice president of the World Blind Union, Enrique Perez. Donna and I have come to know and I think claim Enrique as a friend. We hung out, spent some time with him at the WBU meeting in Bangkok this past November, and he will be attending and talking about the World Blind Union. But on the domestic front, you may know that a new RSA commissioner has been designated by the president. She has not yet been confirmed, and we hope that she will be confirmed by July, because that's the only way she can come. The new RSA commissioner is a woman from Massachusetts by the name of Janet Labreck. So she will be in attendance. Additionally, of course, we will have numerous other speakers. We will have a myriad of workshops, programs put on by our various ACB committees and special interest affiliates. And it's basically a three-ring circus for blind and visually impaired persons. You all come. I want to talk, and I want to wrap it up for a couple of minutes, talking about something that came up at the president's meeting this evening, and that's the notion of change. In 2011, ACB, the board of directors, decided to foot the bill for a strategic plan. In most not-for-profit organizations, a strategic plan is done every 5 years to determine what changes need to be made to an organization, to look at its strengths, to look at its weaknesses, to plot a course for the next 5 years. We undertook in late 2011 and through into 2012, the process of self-examination. It was painful, but it was absolutely necessary. And out of that strategic plan has come already a number of positive changes in the operation of the American Council of the Blind, including the work on our website, including The new data management system that we have purchased that is going to streamline the way ACB collects membership data. Concomitant with that is a new donor tracking process or system that will allow us to do a far better job fundraising for the organization. And even before the strategic plan, of course, I had a mission. I really had two missions as president. One was to establish an advisory board to bring in folks who had access to money, because most of us don't, who were interested in the American Council of the Blind and could aid us in the process of getting us hooked up with that, you know, those one percenter types. And the other thing that I wanted to see happen was to institute something that a democratic organization like ACB didn't have, a secret ballot, something that CCB has had for as long, I suspect, as there's been a CCB, which, believe it or not, goes back to before I became a member of CCB. We accomplished that, although a lot of folks in ACB weren't especially happy about it. Your board of directors decided, after we had kind of broken in Don Wells, who is the fellow who did our strategic plan for ACB, the CCB board decided to have Mr. Wells come and do a strategic plan for CCB, and I guess that will be happening in the next couple, 3 months. It will involve some changes to this organization. And what I said at the president's meeting is this. In biology, an organization either grows and changes or it dies. We have some wonderful members in the California Council of the Blind, but all too many of them, and to some extent I have fallen into that category because I'm now of an age where I'd prefer not to make too many changes myself. But the reality, folks, is we have to change. I go to a number and have been to a number of state conventions over the last 6 years. And the organizations, the affiliates that are embracing changes to how they do business, how they fundraise, how they recruit members, how they function, are the affiliates that are surviving. The organizations that are sticking their head in the sand and saying, this is how we did it in 1955, this is how we're always going to do it, they're going to die. We don't want the California Council of the Blind to die. What we have to be cautious of is to make sure that the changes we undertake are changes for the better. We don't want to change just to change. But as sure as I'm sitting here, change has to happen. I'm in the process of reading a book by Robert Putnam called Bowling Alone. Came out in 2000. And it charts the decline over the last 50 years of civic engagement in every aspect of national life, including voting, including membership in organizations such as ours, in all aspects of civic life. We need to adapt. We need to find ways of bringing blind and visually impaired persons back into this organization. Since we no longer have schools for the blind across the country, even though we have a school for the blind here in California, even though blind and visually impaired youth may not even meet each other, may think they're the only one, and thereby not understand the importance of jointly working together to deal with the common concerns we all share as blind folks, we have to find ways to change and to change the opinions and the attitudes of those blind young people. I had a brief conversation after the president's dinner with Steve Fort, and I said, Steve, you know, I'm making some changes in my life. I have run for my last political office in ACB and CCB. I'm not quite sure where the next 10 or 15 years of my life's journey will take me, but political involvement in this organization, in one of them. I will certainly be involved on the sidelines in the background. I will be immediate past president of ACB, but I do not intend to be involved as an out front leader again. But there are plenty of capable people in ACB, and I believe plenty of capable people in CCB to take over. So don't be fearful of change. Embrace it, accept it, make sure it's positive change. Thank you and good night.
Thank you, Mitch. Let's do a door prize. Donna Sanchez.
Yay! Hey, Ed. Ed.
A tin of either cookies or candy. They wanted to know what she won. You want to do one more?
Yeah, and then Ed, if you tell Joni, you have to talk to her before she disappears.
Who?
Joni Patchy. Before she. Yeah, before it's not easy for me to get around. Okay, we're going to do one more.
What did she win? They
want
to know what
Joni won.
Donna won.
No, Donna Sanchez won. Deborah Thompson. Is Deborah here? I guess she's not here. Let's pull again.
She didn't want to eat my fudge.
Betty Henderson.
Kathleen Vernon.
Eric Skivers. And just, Joni, before you leave, I need to talk with you, please. Okay.